Never have I entered on Advent so vitally and intensely alert as I am now. When I pace my cell up and down, three paces one way, three the other, my hands manacled, an unknown fate in front of me, then the tidings of our Lord's coming to redeem the world and to deliver it have quite a different and much more vivid meaning. These are some words that sound like they could have come from John, prophet, baptizer, and now prisoner, as we hear in our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 11. But instead, they come from the Advent meditations of Father Alfred Delp, written from prison in Berlin during what would turn out to be his last Advent on Earth, December 1944. His crime was, among other things, trying to envision a new social order, to make plans for a Christian social order for his country once the grip of the Nazis was broken. His Advent meditation continues, "My mind keeps going back to the angel someone gave me as a present during Advent 2 or 3 years ago. It bore the inscription, 'Be of good cheer, the Lord is near.' A bomb destroyed it. The same bomb killed the donor. I can only imagine how different the news of the Lord's coming must have sounded men in a situation like Alfred, like John, spoken through prison bars to men who would not live to see another Advent. For many of us here this morning, I suspect the problem is not how different Advent sounds this year. Our problem is probably that Advent sounds just like Advent past, and we fear there's not going to be anything new about Advent still to come either. Advent's texts are as familiar to us as the carols of the season. The Baptist cry and the prophet's foretelling are like some of those treasured ornaments we carefully unwrap, dust off, display and enjoy, and then carefully pack away again to enjoy them next year. The spirit of the season, not the Christmas season, but the Advent season, the spirit of the Advent season is this longing, this patience, this hope. Even these we can slide into again like an old Santa suit that may not fit as well as it used to, but that's all right, we won't have to wear it for too long. Do we even hope that something different will happen this year? Maybe we prefer the comfort of familiar traditions, familiar people, familiar places. Maybe, despite all the talk of something dramatic, something coming in the future, maybe the real message that we take away from Advent after Advent is just this. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Jesus says he's coming. But after nearly 2,000 years, the waiting seems to have lost any real urgency. Seasons come and seasons go. The life of the world is uninterrupted, both in the good things and the bad. Are these like the thoughts that John the Baptist had while he was in prison? Even after all he had preached, all he had seen and heard, even the baptism of Jesus at his own hands, even the Holy Spirit coming down like a dove and then testifying to others that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the world's sins. Even after all of that, once he was jailed and was left languishing in prison, awaiting an uncertain but likely unpleasant fate, he still wanted to be reassured about Jesus. He still wanted to be reassured by Jesus. Are you really the one? Is that what he was thinking about? I have to admit that things seem to be changing around here. Blind people are seeing, lame people are walking, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead live, the poor have good news preached to them. And yeah, that's all great for them. But what about me? What about us who are still captive? You notice that there was no word of release of the captive. For us, Advent comes and Advent goes, regular as clockwork, as annual as tax day, as ordered as the seasons. Jesus comes and goes, and the Messiah's prophet is still in prison. The violent still oppress us. The poor are still with us. The waiting people keep on waiting. And that Advent call to action, "Wake, awake, the night is flying," slowly becomes more like a lullaby. But Jesus' repeated phrase during his ministry was, "He who has ears, let him hear." In other words, listen to the Lord and understand what he's saying. He who has ears to hear had better hear now what the God of history is saying at the most critical and central hour of history, the moment that he walked on the earth. Jesus and Jesus' presence is what it's all about. A season like Advent is for us, but it's not about us. Not in the sense that it only truly becomes Advent when we keep it in our hearts. Advent and Christmas are about his presence, not ours. And when he shows up, things aren't anything but regular as clockwork. His advent, the coming of the Lord, disrupts every imaginable pattern. Blindness becomes sight. Corruption dissolves into cleanness. Death, his own death, becomes the predecessor of life. And John, the prophet in prison, is not an exception, but a proof of that power. The violent had opposed the kingdom of God, as Jesus said. They had imprisoned and silenced the prophets, but they could not silence the prophecy. The word of the Lord would be proclaimed, even if the stones on the ground had been shouted out. No king, no government, no earthly power could silence the voice of the Lord spoken by his prophets. But now prophets grow silent. What need is there now for prophecy when the king of all nations has already come? There's no need for prediction when the event is happening in front of your eyes. John is, we could say, obsolete. And yet there would still be one more attempt by violent and unbelieving people, one more attempt to snatch away into silence, again by arrest and by execution. Yet once more the kingdom of God would receive the violent treatment at the hands of violent men, and this time the king himself would be the victim. Surely, if they could kill the great prophet John the Baptizer with impunity, then this one of no consequence, this little fellow who came after John, he'd cause them no trouble. And that was the fatal flaw in the argument. They had not reckoned with the until now that this one spoke, that he would manifest a greatness that far exceeded even the greatness of the greatest of prophets. No longer can prison or sword or cross, or tomb. These things cannot silence this word or withstand this kingdom. The prisons that held John the Baptist or Father Delp captive were all too real, but the kinds of things that hold us are largely self-inflicted. Now that's not to say, certainly, that our fears and our questionings and doubts and disappointments are only imagined. They are very real. But to us this day, if we ask John's question, what child is this? What kind of savior is this? Are you the one? If we ask questions like that, the same answer comes that came to John so long ago. And it is most certainly not search your heart and see what it tells you. The answer is to look and to listen. Don't look into yourself to discover something new. Look at the Lord, to see and to hear. The Lord Jesus was no mere blip on the screen, not some momentary disturbance that the system is now corrected. The Lord did not raise up one new generation after another of prophets to point again and again to some coming Messiah, a season of endless waiting. The people healed by the first coming stayed healed. The good news that the poor heard is still proclaimed in his name, and the hold of the violent ones of the people of God has been broken forever. Quite simply, the claim will not stand that nothing has changed, that this year brings nothing but the same old Advent. You have indeed heard, you have indeed seen, but look again, hear again. It is not simply the words of the prophet that fill this room, it is the gospel of the Lord. It is not the same old ancient Passover that we come here to eat, it is the feast of the Lord in his kingdom. The promise of Jesus is, behold, I am making all things new. He has come, and nothing can undo that. The world is different forever. He comes now, here today, and no one can stop him. And he will come. He will come in that final and greatest of all Advents. And it is a fact that our salvation is nearer today, now in Advent 2019, than it was in Advent 2018. And so knowing this, pay attention to what we heard this morning from the prophet Isaiah. Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. There are weak hands here, There are feeble knees here. There are anxious hearts here. The prophet says, be strong. Don't be afraid. Look, God will come. God is coming to save you. So here at church, you hear and you see. The next step is, go and tell. Tell the despairing captive. Speak to the anxious heart. And yes, proclaim it to the violent ones too. Preach the good news to those who persecute you. Father Delp continues with this hope. Let us pray for receptive and willing hearts, that the warnings God sends us may penetrate our minds and help us to overcome the wilderness of this life. Let us have the courage to take the words of the messenger to heart and not ignore them, lest those who are our executioners today may at some future time be our accusers for the suppression of truth. It's time for the redeemed of the Lord to all be gathered, that we walk together on what Isaiah calls the way of holiness, singing good news along the way until that day of gladness and everlasting joy. We continue to make our way through this life, through the waiting until Jesus comes again. May the peace that he promises guard your hearts and minds. Amen.